Look, we went ahead and trained your brain. Now it's time to zone out.
I'm going to show you a mystery you can solve with your camera.
Before I show you how to quickly and easily, but secretly, browse the web.
It's time for iOS Today. Today! iOS Today is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. It's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Micah Sargent.
And we're here to tell you all about the latest from iOS. That would be your iPad, your iPhone. By the way, I have an iPhone regular size and an iPhone mini, your Apple Watch, your Apple TV. Is there anything we've left out? Your home hub. And when we someday get back in studio, I feel so bad because, Micah, you put so much effort into creating CarPlay, a special CarPlay console.
And now we don't.
And we don't really get to use it because we're not in the studio. Well, I'm in the studio.
And we don't drive. Well, you do.
Mike is in his studio, but we are separated by the
gotta keep them separated.
A gulf of many miles, many years.
You know, despite those separations, we maintain our enthusiasm.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know.
Thank you. So last week we showed people how to really keep their brain humming during quarantine because you don't want
humming
COVID
and a strumming.
Brain, which I have, by the way. I now officially have COVID brain.
You have self-diagnosed, yes.
I woke up in the middle of the night trying to remember something. I can't remember things anymore. I think that there's just something going on where you just...
I was just going to say, for me, my COVID brain, it's not so much about memory. I have not slept well because I keep waking up in the middle of the night in moments of panic. For some reason, I just wake up in the middle of the night and I go, something's wrong.
It's all related.
And I just feel, it's awful.
That's why I have COVID brain. Yeah. It's just, we're all kind of, what's weird for you and me, our lives have not changed super dramatically. I think that's fair to say. I mean, we're the fortunate ones. We're still working and, you know, even though we have to stay at home, I never went out. So I don't know. It's probably a little different for you. But nevertheless, I think that as a nation, I don't think it's national anymore. As a globe.
Yes, it is global.
We're all going through this sense of grief and loss. I mean, so I think it's natural. So be nice to each other. Be nice to yourself.
Be nice to each other and be nice to yourself. And that's what we're going to do today.
Zone out. Some
apps to zone out.
These are apps that will take your normal sinus rhythm of your brain and heart.
Wait, hold on. That sounds like death. That sounds like death. We're not going to show you.
Not how to die, but it's relaxing.
Yes.
Just that.
That beep is not relaxing, Leo Laporte. You're giving me anxiety.
Okay, sorry. It's back.
Exactly. Yes. My sinus rhythm is back.
So you start sinus rhythm.
All right. Okay. Well,
that's, by the way, the name
start...
of my punk band, Sinus Rhythm.
Sinus Rhythm.
That would be a good name for a band.
I've got rhythm, I've got music, I've got my gal who could ask for anything more. I'm going to start with an app called Dots because it is perfect. An old app of fun and fondness that many of you may remember.
I love this game.
So there are multiple versions of Dots these days, but I personally like the endless version for going ahead and zoning out.
Because then there's no pressure.
There's no pressure. There's no timer. There's none of that. But the point is simply to make connections, colorful connections. Aww. And by making connections, you will at some point create, do you see, a square of purple. And when you make the square, it goes ahead and removes all of that color within the puzzle.
But you get more points for connecting more dots.
Correct. And so there are some times where you will make a line and it will just go all the way across the screen. And it another thing that unfortunately I cannot show you is kind of a lovely, in my opinion, sound that it works with it. So it sort of goes higher and higher in pitch as you make connections.
I love it. Yep.
And I mean, this is all that there is to it. The thing like was zoning out for me. I kind of want something that feels a little mindless and is something where I could be having a conversation while I am playing this game, while I am doing this mindless task. This sort of takes the high energy parts of my brain that sort of jump around and get all anxious about stuff and focuses that part onto this so that the other tasks that I'm doing or whatever I happen to be, you know, conversing or what have you, are much easier to do. Let me go back.
John, can you put on the Apple TV just so we can, I can make the sound for you.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And until then, you can just, you know, do some Foley if you want to. So here's some challenges as well. Well, let me do that. That's with other people. I'll do moves. So what you have to do is you have 30 moves to connect as many dots as you can. So what can I do in 30 moves? So if you want to add a little bit of a challenge to it, then you can do so. That probably wasn't my best move. But what I'm trying to do is get some purples. Aha, there we go. Together. And you can see now I'm starting to make some progress here. I can connect these reds. There's quite a few reds and some greens. And wow, look at all those blues. Ready? And those blues as well.
Nice.
And you get the idea. So this is called Dots. It is free with in-app purchase to unlock some different modes. So for example, the endless mode, I think, was a 99-cent purchase. And so you can buy that if you just want to do the complete zone out. But this game's been around for quite a long time and has over time grown to include more features inside of it that you can play. But it is just this used to be on my, I don't keep games on my phone usually.
This is two dots, which is a successor to Dots. And I don't know. This looks like I'm playing Where's Waldo now. I don't know what's going on. So this is not a good example. But it's it's a fun. It was a fun, fun game. Oh, you're not seeing it. I have to do this for you to see it.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know. So I'm sorry I even brought it up. This is two dots, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's try again. Two dots. Oh, see, it crashes. For some reason, it crashes AirPlay 2. That's another fun thing. Two Dots was the successor to Dots.
Oh, I get it. Dots, comma, 2.
Yeah, Dots 2. Only two dots, yeah.
Two dots. What's your first?
When I'm bored, I often will pull out a deck of cards and play solitaire, right? Okay. And your iPad is actually a great solitaire companion. And this is a solitaire game that was Winston Churchill's favorite. And the only reason we have it's kind of a weird story. It was told to, I think, the American ambassador by Donald Rumsfeld. There's a whole complicated story involved with it. But this is, do you like solitaire? Are you a solitaire fan?
I find it not engaging enough.
Yeah. It's called Churchill Solitaire. I'll start a new game. What's nice about this is they have a variety of ways to play. So, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Winston Churchill. So, there he is, old Winston. Actually, there's some fun little old movies in here and stuff. It's kind of a cool game. The story of the game is here, as I mentioned. One man never doubted victory,
even when his island was encircled and the bombs rained down.
So Churchill's quite a character. He really is. But he never told anybody about this game except, I think, the British ambassador. And then the British ambassador told Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense. He's the guy who said there's known knowns, unknown knowns, and then the knowns we don't know about. That knowns guy.
Knowns.
Mr. Knowns. So this, I don't know how Rumsfeld, Rummy is connected with this. I think he maybe got somebody to do it. There's various ways to play it. There's the Daily Churchill. There's the Random Deal, which is hard. And then you can also do a campaign. And my suggestion, if you do the campaign, is you start with an easy deal because it is a tough game. You could actually obviously play this at home with any deck of cards. It's nice to do it on the iPad, though, I think, because the iPad does all the hard work for you, including the shuffling and the layout and so forth. So this is a complicated game of solitaire. You see these eight here? These are what they call the victory rows. You can't win this game unless all of the cards are placed on this victory row. You start with an ace. You have to have an ace to start. That names the suit. It's two decks. So there's two ace of spades, two ace of hearts, two ace of clubs, two ace of diamonds. And then you have to place in order in the suit all the way up. So it's hard to win this game. See, I already can start here because I'm playing an easy game. This is called the Devil's... let's play. This is called the Devil's Six because you can't play these cards down here as you would in a normal game of solitaire. You can only place them to the victory rows. So I am actually getting a good start here.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, I got two aces going.
I got two aces. Well, this is the easy one, right?
Oh, right. Got the easy deal.
Got the easy deal. And now the other thing is once you clear an area, you can put a king there, but only a king. Oh, look, another ace. I am in really fabulous shape.
Look at you go.
Here.
It's like you're playing that Mario game that you always win.
It's the easy one, isn't it? Let's put the four on the six. Let's put the five on the six. You can see.
You know what I always say? You got to put the five on the six.
Got to put the five on the six. There. Oh, look, a two. That's good. That's good. Because you want to get these off the board. Go ahead.
Do you have to pretend to chew a cigar while you play this? Is that do they have
blood,
some camera?
Sweat and tears, my friends. So kings can be placed over there. So you kind of get the idea of this. And it is good that I'm playing the easy one because if you do a random shuffle, this is almost impossible to win. You can see why Winston Churchill liked this because it's unbeatable. But it's a fun game. It's a really fun game to play. It's one of my favorite. Look at that. Oh, if only I had an ace to play. Remember, you can't put these down here. And see, the iPad keeps you from doing anything illegal, which I really like. Do I have any other moves? Do you see anything I'm missing here? Can that six go anywhere? Oh, there's
the
eight.
Could go
on the nine.
Oh, you're that. Never mind.
But can the nine go anywhere? No. Oh, that nine can go over here. That's nice. Oh, look
there
at this.
Go.
Oh,
that
really is an easy one,
isn't it? Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's nothing you can do. Oh, you can put that two on the three. Put that two on the three.
You don't gain much by doing that, but I guess I open a slot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't realize that was the last card.
Eventually, the two, I want to get all of these up here. Remember, that's how you win the game.
Gotcha.
All right. So now when I've run out of moves, let's say I have, then you tap this and it's going to fill up all the gaps. Oh, look, there's what I was looking for, that ace of diamonds.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that's nice. That's nice stuff there.
You want to put the three of clubs on the two or you want to keep it?
Ideally, I don't know. I don't know what the idea is.
Up in the victory square, I mean.
Oh,
you've got that
you see
three.
It? Yeah. Three, thank you. Yeah.
And the
yeah.
other one as well.
Yeah,
oh,
there we go.
Below the eight.
Get the four. And then, oh, that's good. We're doing really, really, really well.
Yeah.
And then there, that three. Oh, there's a five there, but I can't get to it because I covered it stupidly. So you got to be careful what you do here. Careful what you wish for.
I was about to say that same
thing. Anyway, If you like solitaire, this I wish I do.
The music is really intense.
It's a little dramatic. I'm going to turn that down. This is a fun version of solitaire, especially if you play the easy one, because then you can actually win. You can actually beat it. I think it's an unusual variant that I'd never seen before, but I really quite like. And the iPad makes it very easy. This game makes it very fun. It's easy. You can surrender. It keeps track. There's a campaign, so I'm a Sandhurst cadet at the Sandhurst Military Academy, and I'm going to get better and better as I go through the things. There are hints. You can buy hints, but, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to buy hints. So there's, you know, this is a fun game. I'll show you the store. You can download this for free. You can, you can legend, you get more campaign deals. You could subscribe to the Daily Churchill, which I don't know why you would, for $5 a month, $30 a year, a brand new winnable game. See, that's, maybe now I understand why. It'd be fun to get a winnable game. And then you could buy undos, you can buy hints. But, if you're a real serious player, you probably just play like this. It's fun. Solitaire is definitely a zone out thing, right?
Exactly. Yep. Precisely.
What do you got, sir?
All right. Let's see what's next up for me. I'm going to go with. So this was a game that I had. I said earlier, whenever you were talking about those pretty patterns that you had, I said, oh, you might like this game. And it is called, as you might imagine, Pattern.
I have a lot of fabric squares as I'm making my masks, and I showed you some of the patterns. Oh, this is an arcade game. Okay.
Yeah, so this is an Apple Arcade, which, yes, is an important thing to note. You need to have an Apple Arcade subscription to play this. But this is such a simple game.
Ooh.
And what's great about it is at the end of a playthrough, you get a nice wallpaper that you get to use.
Oh, that's a good payoff.
Yeah, so I'm going to show you. One here. We'll do. So it shows you this pattern, and
so
then
how are you completing it?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So you
you're just dragging pieces that match.
Yeah. It's essentially a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you do it, let's see where this goes.
So yeah, it's like wallpaper, and then you have to find the pieces that fit into the repeating pattern. God, that looks hard.
Well, this one's kind of a particularly difficult one. I should not have chosen this one as my first one.
Looks really hard.
It's not where that goes.
So he's hovering over it. So as you move the piece around, it'll tell you when it fits. But that seems like a cheater's way to play.
Oops. What I'm trying to do is compare the.
Oh yeah, sure. You're not just randomly trying every possible
there we
slot.
Go.
Oh, you found it.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm not just trying to. Do every
there's an L. Whoops. So this is like Tetris a little bit now.
Except like that should
it has
be the
to
one.
Match. So, the other problem I'm having with, and maybe this doesn't look that way on your phone, but it seems kind of washed out. Like I can barely see the pattern.
Well, that looks right. That's accurate.
No, you lie.
Doesn't that look accurate?
Well, hey, the game isn't going to
lie to me.
Lie to you.
Lie to me.
Trust the game.
I don't
Trust
want to.
The game.
I have trust issues.
What's this called?
This is called Patterned. And like I said, while this seems to, this is a particularly difficult one, this specific pattern, that is entirely a match. I don't care what they say.
So this is a game destined to frustrate you.
See, it was not the most. When I played it this morning, it was a lot of fun.
It was calming.
Yes, because it was not this difficult. How do I get out of here? I want to show you the one that I made this morning, but I don't know how to. Okay,
I do
so
like it that you're going to get something out of it afterwards, which is some nice floral wallpaper. Is it all
here we
florals?
Go.
Oh, no.
No. So this is the one
kinds.
That I completed this morning.
See, this is much easier. You picked a really hard one.
I did. Yeah. So you don't have to do hard ones. And then at the end, I was able to save this and I could make it a wallpaper if I wanted to.
Neat. It's like
so I put this all together.
With the balloons
or
the
bless
New
you.
Mexico balloon, the New Mexico Balloon Festival.
And so you can see there are a bunch of different puzzle types that are not as difficult.
Are they all drawings?
They're all repeating pattern drawings. Right. So here's one that's quite simple. I could probably complete this in moments, in mere moments. Okay, so that needs to be there. And this looks like it belongs here. Whoops. No, that goes there. And Apple. And you can see now it's very soothing.
Yes. Do you do jigsaw puzzles at home?
Yeah. So this reminds me of my grandma.
Yeah.
My grandma and I used to, you know, we would just do jigsaw puzzles together.
Yeah.
She loves them. And we always get them for her for, you know, birthdays and stuff. Because, yeah, they're just kind of a fun zone out thing. And you can, you know, come back to them whenever you're ready. You don't necessarily have to play at all times. Let's see.
So it's just, you know, some people would find this soothing. I think I might find it really, really annoying.
Really?
Yeah. And jigsaw puzzles also annoy me. I can only play them for so long before I go, ugh! And walk away.
Before you give yourself a hernia and walk away.
That's the sound I make. It's exactly the sound I make.
Okay. I'm trying to just finish this one real quick so you can see what it does whenever it's done. So we will. If Kevin needs to, he can speed it up here.
Oh, yeah, speed it up. That'd be good to do. Wow, you're really good at this, Micah. Look how fast you're solving it.
I'm doing my best.
Wow, it's so impressive.
Oh, that's how that goes.
Are you good at this? How satisfying was that?
I'm satisfied and smiling. Oh, that's not where that goes.
Somebody's saying it looks like a color blindness test.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of faded out a little bit. I guess it comes alive when you finish it.
I suppose if you, and that's the whole point, is that as you complete it, it starts to fill in. So until that point.
Did you ever take a completed jigsaw puzzle and shellac it and mount it on the wall?
That's another thing my grandma would do. at times, not always, but there was an eagle that she loves eagles. And so she had an eagle puzzle.
That's cute.
And when she finished it, she shellacked it. Or decoupaged it.
Decoupage, yeah. We do jigsaw puzzles. We like to do jigsaw puzzles.
But wait, I thought you said you don't.
Lisa like does.
Oh, okay.
And she'll say, come on, you're going to help me, right? And I'll sit down, and about 5 minutes later,
let's
go away.
I'm calling your doctor.
I can only take so much for some reason. So I think it's just a thing. You know, some people, after a while, can't take it anymore. And I was one of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm almost done. I just want to get through this.
Oh,
look, here's a completely white piece.
Oh, well, there. Well, they even showed you where it went.
That time they showed me because, I mean, how
it's too hard otherwise, right?
Yeah, okay, we're almost there.
Look at this. It's going to be so good when Kevin speeds it up.
Yeah, when then Leo won't have to go,
yay, da-da. Do you have a parade after you solve a puzzle?
No, and then I can tap save.
Nice.
And then it saves it to my thing.
That's cute.
Art.
That's fun.
Yeah, that is called pattern.
Amish homemaking arts, but it's okay. I'm going to show you an oldie but a goodie. Did you ever play Osmos?
No.
This could easily have
always
been,
made me go,
This could, have been maybe one of our very first app caps, I'm thinking. I mean, I think this goes back a long, long way. And by the way, the sound on this is great. Headphones recommended. This is one of the early headphone recommended apps on iOS. Now, there are different ways to play it. There's the Odyssey, the Arcade, the Multiplayer. Multiplayer is fun because you can play together on one thing, but I'm going to just do the Odyssey. Actione contrarium semper aquilum esse rectionem, as I always say.
Truly.
Yes. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, this is one of those games, and I'm telling you, this might have been the very first one, where it didn't give you a whole lot of instruction. It says, this is you. Move to the blue circle and come to a stop. Okay. So I'm going to propel yourself by tapping behind your moat, showing your... I'm propelling the moat. Now I'm going too fast. I'm going to slow down. You make your moat bigger by attracting other moats. Now, if you happen to hit a moat that's bigger than you, what do you think will happen?
I think you explode.
It'll eat you and you lose. So you want to always go to the smaller moats, and your goal is to get to be bigger and bigger and bigger. This is the first
level. That's also my goal.
Yeah,
you know,
this is the first
vanity.
This is the first level, so it's pretty easy. But it can, as you might imagine, get harder. It's almost like combat. Is it too loud? Is it piercing?
No.
Okay. No, I want to make it loud enough so that Kevin can hear it.
hear it right now.
Oh, see, it's shrinking over time. Oh, I almost, that was almost bad. Where I think I was just barely bigger than that one. So honestly, you see, you could just kind of relaxingly have this going on in the background. And by the way, you see, I get smaller when I expel material. So you want to be really more judicious than I've been in moving around. I'd really like to get that big one. But you don't want to use more juice than you're going to gain. There you go. Now maybe if we just kind of move in. And then, of course, you complete it by eating up all the little amoeba. Is this too much like COVID-19, maybe?
Oh. Well, I guess you could think of it as defeating COVID-19.
That's it. We're defeating it. If we can get all these motes, I might...
So here's the part of the show where Kevin speeds everything up to make it more interesting. The thing is, you don't really want to with this game. It's just a very soothing, simple game.
Yeah, I like it in terms of...
Yeah, it's, and the music's pretty, it's very soothing. And it really, it isn't like, you know, a win-lose kind of game. I guess it would be if you were playing, you know, the timed mode or the competitive campaign with the other player mode. But I think just doing it like this, I really want to... You know, at some point you go, oh, gosh darn it. But see, every time I spurt something out, it creates new motes, and I don't want to do that. There's only two left. If I could just get those two... Oh, come on, man. You see, we bounce off the edges, so... The trick is to really use physics as your friend. Put yourself in a position to collect these guys. Oh, here he comes, I gotta get him. Yeah, only one left. I'm not gonna spurt out anything more because I don't want to make any more. I think if I just keep bouncing, I bounced off the side, I'm gonna get closer and closer. He's gonna get closer and closer. Pretty soon, we're gonna meet in the middle. I should have turned this brightness up just a little bit so maybe you can see a little bit better. Oh, go. No, I want to keep playing. There we go. And victory. Now I just have to get back there. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, now, if that guy would just quickly come back to Papa. Come back to Papa. Okay. Tap several times, accelerate quickly. Notice how you shrink when you eject mask. Okay. Now, it's going to be a little more complicated.
Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated?
So I'm going to get big here real quick. I love the sounds, actually. I have to get big enough to eat that guy. See what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I get it.
See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do.
I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, and gosh darn it. Uh-oh, he's getting bigger, but I think...
Oh, wow, I didn't realize they get bigger.
Well, yeah, because if he eats my plasma...
Gulp.
Okay, relax. The wise player... This is important. The wise player taps less often.
In life.
And so now we're actually... That was the tutorial. Now we're playing the game. And oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, you can do this. Oh my goodness. Those red ones, stay away. You don't want to go near those until you're bigger. Until you're a bigger boy. Maybe.
A big boy.
Maybe if I go here... See, I'm already belying the relax part. I don't want to see all those scary giant balls.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's kind of scary when you see what's out there in the universe. It's better if you don't know. Oh, get bigger. If I get just a little bit bigger, you know, this is going to be interesting. Should I just continue my trajectory, eat this guy?
See, it's interesting how you can only...
Oh, I'm not big enough.
No, not big enough.
You know what I need to do is eat this guy. Isn't this fun?
Oh, God, I don't know that you're big enough.
Oh, see, they all turn blue now.
Oh, I see. Once you're big enough, they're blue. Now, you're expending...
Yes, you lose size by tapping. Okay.
Gotcha.
So the trick, now let's see what the universe looks like. It's not so scary, is it?
Because
I'm the bigger shark. I did that for Kevin. So now I'm the biggest shark in the land. I've completed the level.
All right.
That is
Osmos.
Oh, you're done, aren't you? You said like, but see, this is what I think a great zone out game makes you go, oh, let's play a little more, right?
Yeah.
Let's just do a little more.
It's kind of like how I felt with Patterned if I didn't have someone in my ear saying, ugh!
Sorry.
Get over this game.
I'm sorry. Did I really ruin it for you?
No. I'm just teasing. We're doing a bit. All right. Let's, but we should move on to the next one. This is one that's actually been out for a long time, and it is called Prune. And it is not about a plum that has been dried in the sun.
Oh.
Instead.
Oh, I know what this is. I've played this game. I like this game.
Okay, so the point of this game is to create...
There's a similarity to our games, isn't there? These are kind of zone games.
And then you have to start to cut away.
Prune it, as it were.
grow it out into the sun. And look, it's turning gold. And we've done it.
You've made a beautiful cherry tree.
And then if I wanted to, I could take a screenshot of this screen and make it, again, a wallpaper. Nice. I seem to have lots of wallpaper ones. Let's go to the next level.
This is a really beautiful, relaxing game. I agree with you.
Yeah, and one of the things here, you know, you start to see, you kind of learn as you go. So as I grow this tree, this circle above the top, I need to make it so that the tree grows around the circle. Because the circle, of course, is blocking it from growth. So you want to start to trim back parts that are going to bump into that circle, for example. And the point is to get it into the sunlight. So I'm going to take away some of these top branches here to help it grow out more and basically take its resources into the light.
Actually prune trees?
I used to have bonsai.
I've always wanted bonsai.
Yeah, and it's tough getting good ones because I don't recommend starting from seeds unless you have had some experience. I have this really awesome book. It's called The Encyclopedia of Bonsai, and it is just a book full of information about growing bonsai, about the different arts of bonsai, the different styles of bonsai. It's gorgeous, and it really made me, you know, love bonsai and everything that it involves. It's Dieter Rams is a excellent German designer who is the guy behind Braun. So he does industrial design, and he has this love for and fascination for bonsai that really got me into it. And there's this wonderful movie called Objectified where he's talking about that you with bonsai, like you have to prune the tree, you have to cut away, you have to make it better. And that's how he approaches design, industrial design, product design. Wow. And he's speaking in German the whole time. And normally German, I mean, well, sometimes German can sound very harsh, but hearing him speak it, he speaks with the minimalism that he brings into his product design as well. And it's really very interesting. I guess I'll get rid of these babies. This is a tough one. I don't really have much else to cut away. Oh, I guess I did. I didn't realize I'd already won.
Grown.
Got past this level. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
So the trick is not to run into the giant scary ball.
Yeah, don't run into the ball because it'll break your branches. And right. Then what you want to do is get into those beams of light. So you can see where the sort of tan and gold is. That's where you want to be. And you don't want to be in the black. So this is an interesting level because think about this. I can go to the left and I will get into the light perhaps a little bit sooner because there might be less growth that way versus growing straight up where it would take a long time for me to get into those brighter portions of light. So I'm going to try growing this way instead. So there is a little bit of technique to it, but it's just a light bit of technique as you go and swipe through. And so I think you can see that the branches at the top are what's getting toward the light. So I'm actually going to get rid of this bottom branch. And once again, we've got gold. And we did it. Da-da-da-da. And then, yeah, it always makes these beautiful little art pieces at the end that you can save to your phone and make your wallpaper
really cool.
If you want to. So that is Prune. That is available for $3.99 in the App Store. And it is an editor, App Store Editor Award winner. I think it's been a game of the year. It's received lots of awards.
And very zone outy. I mean, this is
very zone outy.
Yeah,
I think Osmos and Prune are sort of in that same space, super zone outy.
And then I should just point out Osmos, I was just showing the first few levels. It gets much more challenging and complicated over time. So it's not, my recommendation is get it, play it and see, because it gets much more interesting over time. Now I'm going to show you something. Actually, Chris Marquardt was on the radio show. He's our photo guy on Sunday and talked about some photo apps. And this is one I just really loved. It does require an iPhone with the ability to do the depth sensing. You know, if you go to the website, or rather the app store, it'll tell you what iPhones. I think it works on a 10R and later. Mm-hmm. It's called MeSci. And it actually works on the latest iPad, too. I don't know if it'd work on your iPad. But it's a camera app. It's a photography app. But it's really more for, I would say, for people who've taken certain substances. So the idea is, and you can see it's showing my desktop. It's just doing the camera. But I can choose down here various effects. So I'll choose mm-hmm. the first effect. And then it still hasn't changed anything until I put my hand in the shot.
Whoa.
And now it's modifying it. So it's using...
It can tell your skin from the ring. It can tell.
It's using... Well, not just skin. I don't know what it can tell.
What
is it? Somehow it knows my hand or my face, if I do my face. It can also do other effects.
Whoa. So, okay.
I know.
I don't think you want to be on a substance and
maybe you don't need a substance, in other words, right, to do this. I don't know if you can kind of, you can kind of see what it's doing with me. Hey. The funny thing is, it doesn't seem to do it to TV. Like, I thought it might do it to you. So it did a little bit, but I don't know. I'm not sure how it's detecting. But somehow it is detecting this. So there are a variety of different looks. And you can take a picture. So it'd be worth it to kind of play with this and try the different effects. Look at that one. That's kind of a weird rainbow effect.
Does it do the front-facing camera or just the back-facing?
I think it's just the back-facing on this.
That's interesting.
So I'm not sure what tech. It's ARKit for sure. So any phone I think that does ARKit will do it. Look at that. That's kind of a black and white, pixelated, hand-drawn version of me. You know, isn't that cool? Let me see if I can do a selfie with that. I don't know what that would... you have to hold it, I guess. I don't know what's going on. The circle's going around. Oh, it's making a movie. That's what it's doing. All right, let's see the movie here that I just recorded. Oh, well, that's going to be weird because I moved it around a lot. Yeah, you're playing with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that. So I always wanted to have one of those Wall Street Journal ink drawings of myself. Now I got one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Is that cool? So I can add that to my library. So there's quite a few effects. And then you notice this little... here's a weird one. Look at that. Let's see what this does. It's like a little multi-happy face. I don't know. Maybe it crashed the camera. I don't know what happened there. It also does... I guess it's doing a variety of them. And then if you press the little toad, it's the opposite. It does it to the environment.
Oh, and leaves your face alone.
And leaves your face alone.
I did a wiggle one, and now it's making the room wiggle.
Wouldn't that be kind of interesting? So I'm going to turn on the video camera and shoot myself doing this. Now let's see what this looks like. Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow. I think it's kind of cool.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
That was fun.
So this is, I don't know if it's zone out exactly, but it is kind of trippy. And look at that. Isn't that cool? Let's you do interesting effects.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wait, let me do the little frog.
Decomposing. iPhone 11, 10R, and 10S, it says. Thank you, Scooter X.
Scooter.
Scooter. So this is MeSci. It's I think it's free, right?
Completely free, which that makes me a little concerned.
And I thank Chris Marquardt. I want to give him credit for discovering this and telling me about it. It's a zone out in the sense that don't you find that some apps you just play with and you just keep playing with them?
Yes.
This is one of those. You're just going to keep playing with it.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, now you've got kind of Magritte balls floating around.
I'm trying to get the...
That is a cool effect. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's only for this one's only for the environment. So I can be surrounded by bubbles.
Yeah, the frog makes it the environment. So you could be a bubble or the frog could be the bubble.
Look at that. That's wow. That's some pretty good AR.
Yeah. Yeah, it does a good job.
Wow. It's okay. Really,
so there's a lot of these are not Snapchat effects. These are just weird.
Yes.
Oh, weird effects.
Wait, let me do that.
This is actually your Ecamm setup is the best setup for this because you can see the real world and then see his phone. Yeah, that's really cool.
Oh, this is like a demo of all the different modes.
Yeah, it's just going through them, cycling them.
Oh, I felt like I was in that Aha music video.
Yeah. Take on me.
Take on me. All right. That's very fun. I like that.
That's Maysai.
Maysai. Maysai. I don't know. Cool. Let's see. My last one before we move on is an app that's been around for a long time. And honestly, it's not updated for the latest versions of iOS, but it gets a special mention from me. It's called Viridi, V-I-R-I-D-I. And it is an app. I named my my succulent Ayahuasca. iOS.
You really like these growing apps. That's interesting.
I do.
Yeah.
So this one is a place where you can make little succulents, you can grow succulents. So this is actually based on the time is not based on sort of immediate. Over the course of days, your plants start to grow. And you can see that it's sated, meaning that I'd already watered these for the day. So right now, you know, they are good to go. But I'll have to check in soon and make sure that they are okay. But over time, it will grow into a big plant. And at the beginning, whenever you first download the app, it's free with in-app purchases. You pick a pot that you want and you pick a set of succulents that you want, and then it creates it for you. There are some in-app purchases that let you, if you want to have, for example, three different nurseries, you can have one in your house, you can have one in the cat's zone, and so then you can have up to three. And then you can buy, if you want to, succulents to add to the mix.
So they're all succulents.
Yes, yeah, this is a succulent simulator, essentially.
Succulent simulator.
So my first one, because it's for iOS today, is called Ayahuasca. And that is my series.
How long
of
does it take to grow?
Multiple days.
Yeah.
So I will have to check back each day and make sure I keep them watered. If you don't water them, then they will die. So maybe that's a little bit
annoying.
High stakes.
Yeah.
No. You keep kind of annoying. Little high stakes. But it reminds me of Tamagotchi, you know?
Yeah, it's a Tamagotchi. And you know, for some, that would be soothing.
Yeah. And the music I find very soothing.
Yeah, it's pretty. So. Yeah, it's very pretty. Some really good choices there. Thanks. Thank you, Mike.
And
yes,
same for you.
Yeah.
I think Osmos is
Osmos,
good.
Yeah. Everybody should have. It's just it's a wonderful game. It's evolved over the years. I think it was one of the very early iPhone games, and it's still a real pleaser, I think.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by ExpressVPN. We are big fans of ExpressVPN. Mm-hmm. I think you all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and your security online, right? But did you know you can also use it to take your TV watching to the next level? We've all probably watched everything we want on our Netflix. Well, here's the deal. You got your Netflix fired up? Okay. You can now unlock movies and shows that are not available in the U.S., but in other countries. So use ExpressVPN, for instance. You could go to the U.K., where all the Doctor Who episodes and all the Star Trek episodes are available on U.K. Netflix. How do you do that? ExpressVPN, very easy to use. You go to ExpressVPN on your device, and there's a big button. Now, normally, if you hit that button right away, it'll immediately connect with the nearest ExpressVPN servers. But you can, at the very bottom, you can say, oh, I don't want to go to San Francisco. How mundane. And you can choose other locations. I'm going to choose the United Kingdom. I am now connected to the UK Docklands. And if you fire up Netflix or refresh your Netflix now, all of a sudden, oh, something's happened. I'm now seeing Star Trek and Doctor Who. That is really awesome. Now, the whole time it's doing this, by the way, you see how easy it is. And ExpressVPN does not slow down your performance at all. I mean, that's one of the things that's really cool about it. I asked Netflix, is that cool to do this? They said, yeah, well, the only reason we tell people not to do it is VPNs aren't very fast, so you won't be able to watch HD video. Obviously, they don't know about ExpressVPN. It is fast. It's so fast that HD video comes in fine, no buffering, no stuttering. It does other things, too. I mean, it hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you are. So you have 94 different countries you can be in. ExpressVPN doesn't just work with Netflix. Hulu, BBC Player, YouTube, you name it. But that's just one of many reasons I use ExpressVPN. It's a great way to watch shows once you've run through all the shows here in the U.S. But it's also so fast that it never impinges. I frequently leave it on by accident. And I never even noticed because it's just as fast as my existing. And what's great is my internet service provider, whether it's my carrier or my home internet service provider, they're not seeing what I'm doing. So it's private, which I really like. And if I'm on a coffee shop or if I'm just outside, if somebody's monitoring my Wi-Fi, they can't see what I'm doing either, which means I'm not hackable. ExpressVPN is the VPN I chose. Not because it's the cheapest. In fact, there are, I know, you're going to tell me, Leo, I got a free VPN. I would just submit, if they're free, how are they paying for that? Selling your information, not ExpressVPN. They've had third-party audits. Their trusted server technology means when you use ExpressVPN, it can't write to the server. It can't write to the hard drive. It cannot log. It does not log. And their privacy policy and the trusted server technology has both been vetted by third parties. And they say, yep, ExpressVPN does exactly what it says it does. Truly private, truly secure, truly fast. ExpressVPN, I want you to try it right now. Now that we're all home, this is a perfect time. ExpressVPN.com/iOS today. In fact, if you sign up now for a year, you'll get an extra 3 months free. That gives you the best deal, less than $7 a month. ExpressVPN.com/iOS today. We thank them so much for supporting us during this difficult time. We thank you for supporting us by using that special address you see on the screen, or you hear me say ExpressVPN.com/iOS today. All right, Micah, what's the news?
I'll tell you what, I really do love ExpressVPN.
I know, too. It's a lifesaver nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm using it all the time. So up first, I wanted to talk about some outreach that Apple has done, a bit of a press tour about the iPad cursor and trackpad support, pointer support on iPad. Two pieces, one that you linked to and then one that I linked to. And so mine is Federico Vitici of MacStories.net is kind of the iOS
shortcuts guru. King of shortcuts,
king of doing everything you possibly can do on iOS instead of macOS. And so he sat down with Apple's Craig Federighi on his podcast called App Stories, and they had a conversation about iPadOS and pointer support. So that was a really fun listen, and it pairs well with the piece that you found from TechCrunch entitled How Apple Reinvented the Cursor for iPad. So this is a conversation between a friend of the show, Matthew Panzerino, and Craig Federighi, talking about sort of where the cursor, the iPad cursor came from and, you know, what kind of the thinking was into it. I'm curious, you know, Leo, you've had your new keyboard with trackpad for a while now.
Love it.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to know. Have you been using it? Do you feel like you've been using it more? Do you find yourself using the trackpad?
A couple of things I noted. First of all, it's much easier to type on. I mean, it's a decent keyboard. So I find myself doing some writing that I would normally do on a Mac, doing it on the iPad, especially my day one journal. I find it really a perfect combination for the day one journal. It's also taken me a little while to get used to, you know, the swipes and the various keys, you know, trackpad techniques,
like gestures,
as you move around. Gestures, that's the word I was looking for. But as I get used to them, I really like them. And I do agree And I, with those two articles you mentioned, well, the podcast and the article, because I think they put a lot of thought into it. I think Craig's making the rounds talking about the thought they put into it. And it's pretty clear they didn't just say, well, let's just put a pointer on the iPad. They really wanted to rethink what a pointer does. And I can't think of a single negative, to be honest. Maybe the only negative that I've heard, besides the price, which is a clear negative, but if you're willing to pay the price, is just that with the iPad positioned in its normal position, these keys are a little bit underneath. You can see they're in the shadows. They're a little bit underneath the top row, is a little bit underneath the iPad. Maybe that's a little weird. You feel like you have to reach in there. Doesn't particularly bother me. This yesterday happened to me where for some reason, even though I could use the trackpad, the pointer, I couldn't use the keys. I couldn't type.
Oh.
And I couldn't quite figure it out, as that's happened before with a smart keyboard, and a detach and retach often works. But I thought it was weird because the pointer continued to work, but just not the keys.
Interesting. So they must be separate connections or something.
I don't know what it was. It went away. It was maybe a bug. But that doesn't happen very often. I've been very happy with it. I think this is, if you can afford it, it's really outrageously priced, but you've probably seen the x-rays of it. I mean, there's some real engineering that's gone into this. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand either, but that's just the way it is. Sorry, Siri, I wasn't talking to you. My sense is it's very well engineered. It feels like it's really robust. I love it that I can plug the Type-C connector into the hinge.
Yes.
I think that's a very subtle but very handy feature because it leaves the Type-C connector on the iPad free for other things. And I've started using my iPad more as a second screen on my Mac just because I can keep the iPad plugged in and the base of it.
Yeah, not hanging out of the side.
Yeah. It's a little weird because you can't use the keyboard and trackpad with a sidecar. And it feels like... Gosh, I feel like I should be able to with Sidecar. I understand why that's not happening. It'll be a little weird and confusing. I'm going to be very interested to see if Apple changes or modifies Sidecar slightly when you have a Magic Keyboard.
Yeah, because that trackpad there would be nice to.
Wouldn't it be nice to have that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's only your mouse on the Mac that works. But no, I love it.
And I think what I found interesting is that I find this a more pleasing typing experience than this MacBook Pro with Touch Bar that I have sitting in front of me. The keys
you have the old butterfly key, Mac.
I do, yeah. And so typing on that, you know, I did it and I do it, but it's not great. And so then going to this and typing on this with these, you know, the newer switches, it's quite nice. What's interesting for me is that I have yet to my muscle memory has yet to remember the trackpad. I wanted to talk about something because I've seen a lot of people talking about it amongst themselves, but also something that has come up a lot lately in questions to me on Twitter and elsewhere, and that is about AirPods Pro.
Yes.
So a lot of people are having an issue, a rattling, a crackling, a roaring, a wheezing in one or both of their AirPods. And the theory is that it has to do with the active noise cancellation microphone within the AirPods, specifically the one that is directed into the ear. And we don't know exactly what's going on, but something is causing an issue where it becomes overly sensitive or something, and it starts to make a rattling sound, a crackling sound, as the AirPod sort of moves freely in that space. And you'll notice if you touch the AirPod, sort of brush up against it, it'll make that crackling sound, et cetera. Well, I have not used my AirPods Pro for multiple weeks, like many, many weeks, probably multiple months, because of that annoying rattling sound.
You really can hear it.
Oh yeah,
it's really bugging you.
It was so bad that, you know, and I thought, oh golly, because of COVID going on right now, it would be a difficult return process. So that's why I hadn't, you know, tried to initiate a return process. And it's also kind of one of those things where when you feel maybe that you're alone, is it just a you thing kind of a thing? Is it just me or other people experiencing it or what?
Right.
And so once I started to see other people experiencing it and I saw some folks talking about their return process and how simple it was, I finally went through. So I logged into the Apple support app and you scroll down, you get to AirPods, tap on that, and then you say, you know, I've got a repair issue. And then they pop you into an iMessage conversation using Apple's new business chat feature. And so then you start talking with a person who works for Apple. They ask me a few questions. Depending on who you get and what they know or don't know, you might get certain questions or you might not. So, for example, Matthew Casanelli, he had the same issue. And they checked that he was running a beta, and they tried to say that it was because he was running the beta maybe that he was experiencing the issue. And so he kind of had to argue with them a little bit to get them to say, oh, okay, I guess it's not that. I didn't get that question, but they asked me a few things, and then they said, okay, well, we can send you a repair or a replacement.
Wow.
What we'll do is we will put a hold on your card for the cost of the replacement, and then we'll send you in the mail the replacement part, and then you need to put the faulty AirPod basically into the package and send it back to us. And when we get it, then we'll release the hold. So it's repaired or replaced for free, but they want to make sure that they get the faulty one back. So they put the hold on your card.
Yeah, that's normal. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a couple of things that I want to, some caveats and some things. If you have this issue, it is a real issue. And so if you are hearing that rattling, this is something that you can have fixed. It's important to know, too, that so I, along with the rattling, had a ghostly howl sometimes.
Jesus.
So
it's,
in the right AirPod.
You had haunted AirPods.
I did. It was ridiculous. So when they send you the package,
these are again, AirPod Pros.
Pro, yes, yes. And it only happened when ANC was turned on, when the active noise cancellation was turned on. So when I got the replacement, a couple of things to know. It comes in this little box. It's sort of, you can't quite tell what it is. It's one of the least designed Apple boxes. But it comes with the AirPod itself and then through the three ear tips. And it has inside of it these simple instructions for how to pair the new AirPods, the new AirPod. Unfortunately, the instructions were not very clear. It just shows put it into the case with the old one, plug it in, and then hit the button on the back. But it doesn't say anything. It's like an IKEA diagram. It has no words. And so I did just that, the darn thing wouldn't pair. And so I had to look it up online. And so I just wanted to let everybody know, you need to plug it in for at least 20 minutes.
It has to be charged up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then at that point, then you can hold down the button and it resets the AirPods and then you pair them again and then it's good. Okay. The other thing was a caveat, Matthew Casanelli didn't realize that the package that they ship you with the replacement AirPod, the actual envelope that it comes in, it has the return label on it.
Yeah.
And so he had thrown it away, realizing he was able to dig it out of the trash, though, luckily. And so, yeah, you just have to remove the perforated tab, take off the current label, and the return label is underneath. So
that's important to know. That's
good. I've heard enough people out there talking about this that I feel like it's something that people are going to be doing. And I just don't want them to go through that same process of confusion about how to pair them. And, whether or not it's a real thing, if you are hearing a crackling, rattling, there were different, different words used. But
now
yeah,
I have to go home and listen to mine and see.
You absolutely
should. I haven't
heard
any of that, but who knows? Maybe I'm not paying attention.
It was obnoxious to the point where, like I said, I'd stopped using them. But now I'm using them again, and they sound great, and I'm happy. And I hope that the left one, which is still an original, does not have that
issue. It's getting hard to recommend these, to be honest. At the price point they are, if people are having those kinds of problems, there are less expensive devices that work.
That work better.
Better, I would say.
I'm really disappointed, honestly.
Yeah.
Gotta say.
All right.
Next. This is just a hilarious, hilarious piece. Leo, if you make an app, a media app, that has short, bite-sized video content.
I know where you're going.
And you release it around the time that people are at home all the time, bored and wanting more content.
Why would they watch it?
Why would they watch it? So Jeffrey Katzenberg says that the pandemic is to blame for Quibi not doing very well, which makes absolutely zero sense because people are starved for content.
You know,
why would they not want to?
Quibi for a world where people are waiting in line at the DMV. They're commuting on the subway. We designed Quibi for a world where people are out and about. Now they're stuck at home. And why would they watch our crap?
You know, in the article, he says at one point he's talking about the hundreds of users. He actually says hundreds of users.
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Well, now you and thousands. And I imagine there are, initially in the first few days, hundreds of thousands of downloads. But you and I watched it. Have you watched it since?
I watched all of Chrissy's Court and I deleted it after that.
That's it. Because you got 3 months free. But there's no – I didn't even feel like – oh, let's keep it for the whole 3 months. It's like,
yeah, once I was done with the show that I wanted to see, well, I'm not interested in the rest of the stuff.
How much macaroni canon action can you watch?
You know, there's a show on there where a woman has a gold arm and she wants to keep her gold prosthetic arm and not get rid of it, but it's killing her. She has, they call it, I think it's called golden vascular disease, is this fake disease that they've made up.
It really does sound like a 30 Rock parody show.
Yes.
That one does.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's like, no, I want to keep my, but they play it so straight. They play it so.
I really enjoyed Jeffrey Katzenberg blaming the failure of Quibi on COVID-19. There was, when they announced, yeah, we're going to release it, there was some concern. Oh, they're doing it in the middle of the pandemic. I guess you could say perhaps people don't want to spend any money on content, and yet it's still free.
It's free right though. Yeah.
Free for 90 days. So it can't be
they
that.
They should have no issue there. And the fact that, you could make the excuse in a non-COVID world that because people are, going to work and they
that's
are
more likely, right? They don't have time for it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can only watch it on your phone. So you could make that excuse. But in this world,
no.
There's all
people
the
are desperate
time,
for content. Theory.
Yeah.
So, I think honestly what Katzenberg should have said is, we've got a great reception, people like it. We're going to continue to make programming. We don't have a hit yet, and that concerns us a little bit. But we feel like as soon as we can get the right show for the audience, we're going to just take off to the moon.
Yes. And also, maybe don't send cease and desist orders to podcasters.
Did they do that?
There were podcasters who were planning on doing reviews of Quibi shows, a.k.a. free advertising for Quibi. They sent cease and desist orders to them. And then also, you can't share any of the content outside of the app. You try to take a screenshot and it makes it black. And so the one viral bit of content from Quibi was that golden arm thing. And the only way to do it was to put down a phone with it on the screen and then use a different phone to shoot the video of that thing. And that was the only way. And to be fair, that video, that tweet did do really well and got more people into Quibi.
It's just bizarre. I mean, so we didn't get a cease and desist, did we?
No. It's for people. They were like, oh, we're going to be doing a show devoted to kind of like how I did a rewatch show for The Office. They were going to do a rewatch show for Quibi show.
But remember, Lucas did that in the early days of Star Wars. He was really very jealous of the content and didn't want people to do fanfic and stuff. And I think he learned his lesson that that's only good for you. That only helps promote it. Jeffrey's notoriously litigious, I hear. And so, in fact, that we were a little concerned when we did our Quibi review the first time.
Oh, that's right.
We did it. One of our producers cut it all out. saying, you're going to get sued. And I said, no, put it back. If they sue us, they sue us. And as far as I know, they didn't do a take.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any cease and desist.
And Jeffrey, we love you, so please.
Do we?
Yeah,
no. Oh, sorry. We love you.
No, I think you're right. If you are Quibi, you want people to show it, review it, and talk about it. That's the only way you're going to get the attention you need to save the
platform. And apparently they are planning on adding sharing features in the future.
To the big screen. Yeah, Meg Whitman said we're going to do that. Yeah.
But that was not in the first round of edits. No, and I wouldn't be surprised if the company ends up before someone had said, you know, the real winners in all of this are the studios who sold these shows to Quibi, knowing that they were not going
to
do
good
well.
Good to be in the content creation business, although frustrating for people like Titus Burgess and Chrissy Teigen, who created shows and put their heart and soul into it, that they put them on a platform that apparently just didn't take off. But, you know, there were, I think a lot of us were a little skeptical, even from day one when we heard about it. No schadenfreude here. I mean, I wanted to do well, but it just didn't seem to grab people.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our feedback for this week.
Yes.
A great question from Bruce here. Recently, you discussed home automation, and I found on YouTube several inexpensive Wi-Fi garage door switches that include simple instructions. Each has its own app for opening and closing the garage. I've read some car manufacturers like Tesla plan on including Wi-Fi-enabled garage door openers. Have you ever looked into them? Do you have a recommendation? And I'm really curious what Leo might think about security.
Well, so there's already a standard for garage door openers.
Oh, okay.
And many cars, including my Tesla, could understand my garage door and could be programmed. Just like a programmable remote. With the Tesla, I had to take the original garage door remote, hold it near the bumper, press the button.
Oh, that's where it is.
And
gotcha.
Then it learned, and it was able to open it. There's something, it's called Home, I can't remember this, Home something. There's a standard. My Audi used to do that. My current Audi does that. I press the button, the garage doors open and close. So this is not new. This has been around. And if you have kind of a traditional garage door opener, we have... What is the big name? Is it Lazy Door? We have one of the big garage.
HomeLink, by the way.
HomeLink is the name of that. And there we have one of the standard garage doors. I can't remember. And it works just fine with it. So,
I just know of Chamberlain and Craftsman are the two that
I
know
of.
Yeah,
it's not either one of those. I even got a third-party remote that you program by holding it up and doing that so that you can carry that around. So I don't think this is unusual. I think that like any remote control, there are, you know, kind of programmable remotes.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about a solution that I have used for quite some time that does it over
Wi-Fi. Thank you. OS X.
LiftMaster.
That's the one I have is a LiftMaster.
Gotcha.
Which, if you think about it, it's a weird name. But okay.
it is a master of lifting, like Aunt Pruitt.
Yeah, he's a LiftMaster. He's the LiftMaster.
Yes. So Chamberlain, which is the people behind both Chamberlain and, I think they are LiftMaster too.
Maybe.
LiftMaster, maybe. Chamberlain.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So Chiffmaster
and Limerick.
LiftMaster and Chamberlain are owned by the same company.
Uh-huh.
And one is for the sort of builder's market and one is for the consumer market. So anyway, these garage door openers are the most common. And Chamberlain makes an excellent device that I have used. It's called the Chamberlain MyQ Smart Garage Door Opener. And what you do is... you choke is what you do. No. Mm. What you do is you take the device and you put it on the ceiling near your garage door opener inside of your garage. And then you take this little square. It's just a little puck almost. And you stick it to your garage door. And it has an accelerometer inside and a gyroscope. And then you program, just like you would with, you know, you held the remote to your bumper, you do the same thing, except this time it's just sort of listening, ready to receive the signal. And then it opens the garage door, and then you say, yes, it's open right now, so that the sensor knows what open means. And then close, yes, this is what closed means. And then you connect it to your Wi-Fi router. So I can, from anywhere over Wi-Fi, access my Chamberlain garage door opener and then open my garage. I've used this, you know, in the past whenever I was letting in a guest, if I wasn't home, or I mean, there are any number of reasons for this, to make sure that whenever you leave the house that you did indeed close the garage door. That's kind of one of the big ones. There are lots of safety features that are included. It's very, for example, if you use it to close the garage door, it beeps very loudly so that you know that soon it's going to close down the garage door, so no one's like in the way or anything like that. And it integrates, you know, with the existing safety systems. I use this with a platform called HOOBS, H-O-O-B-S, which stands for Homebridge Out of the Box System. And Homebridge is It's a JavaScript server, but I can't think of the name of the JavaScript server.
Node.js?
Yeah, Node. Thank you. Node.js server that connects your non-HomeKit enabled devices to HomeKit. And so I have my garage door within HomeKit via HOOBS, which I used Homebridge before I ever had a HOOBS system, but HOOBS just makes it very simple.
So are those you two nervous devices, because Wink just started charging a monthly subscription? Are you afraid when you buy something like this that, you know, you're it's $169 bucks, you got it, and then
HOOBS is open source.
It is open source. Okay.
Yeah. So HOOBS itself is not really HOOBS is not a. Don't think of HOOBS as the platform.
It's based on HoobStank.
Yes. Okay. Homebridge is the platform, but what HOOBS came in and did was they basically made it so that people didn't have to do a lot of thinking to create the Homebridge server.
So it's a little mini computer, really, like a little Raspberry Pi. And it's running the open source. Is it
precisely
which open source project is it? Is it Habitat? Do you know?
I don't know. I'll send you a link afterward. But I didn't get the full HOOBS system because I already had a Raspberry Pi that was running a Homebridge server. And so I just got the SD card because I wanted to see how HOOBS was different from my own, you know, custom made server. And it's a little bit cleaner and it gets updates more frequently and stuff like that. So it was less work for me to keep it updated. Yeah, and it's even let me do things like my Raspberry Pi's CPU was in my HomeKit set up as a temperature sensor. So I can see if the CPU is really getting, you know, hit by the current temperature of it.
It's 20 bucks. You can get it on an SD card. You can even download it for free and put it on your own SD card. So if you've got a Raspberry Pi, which I do, I'm going to try this. HOOBS.
Yeah.
I guess HOOBS must be the name of the open source project.
HOOBS stands for Homebridge Out of the Box System. Homebridge is the open source project.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So it's homebridge.io, is it?
It's all right. We'll find it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is homebridge.io, a lightweight Node.js server that emulates the iOS HomeKit API.
Neat.
So anyway, this is
specifically for HomeKit compatible stuff.
Yeah. So, well, it's non-HomeKit compatible stuff. You can make it HomeKit compatible using this. This bridges the gap between
I need a HomeKit hub like an Apple TV or an iPad to use this?
If you want to use it outside of the house, outside of the home.
Ah.
So this is for people who have, you know how Nest makes the Nest camera and the Nest thermostat?
Yes.
And Google did not want to sort of play ball with Apple. So the Nest camera is not HomeKit enabled. You cannot use Siri and the Home app to use it.
Right.
Homebridge is the go-between that connects to the Nest cam and then makes it display in your home setup.
Nice.
And so, for example, I could spend, I think it's like $500 on a Wi-Fi enabled garage door opener that works with HomeKit. Or I could take the garage door opener I already have, buy this $40 connector, and then I can make it exposed in the Home app using Homebridge. So this is the kind of stopgap measure for non-HomeKit enabled stuff to become HomeKit enabled. It just serves as the go-between for those. So you can, I mean, there's any number of things. There are a whole bunch of plugins that you add to your Homebridge setup to make it available within the Home app. So it's pretty fun stuff and kind of geeky stuff. And it means that any HomeKit enabled thing can work with the Home app, so long as someone's made a plugin for it. And it's all open source, all on GitHub and available there. So yeah, if you have any questions about it or people out there have any questions about it, I'm happy to answer those. There's still my guide on iMore is one of the most frequented for how to set up your own Homebridge server. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your own HoobaStank server. So thank you, Bruce, for your question there. I'll include links in the show notes to the Chamberlain MyQ garage door opener and the HOOBS system. I think rolling your own in this case is a lot better than spending the $600, $700 on one that you have to go and install. And, you know, I've done that before, and it's not fun taking down that old chain and, you know, letting go of the tension springs and all that kind of stuff. It's a really involved process. It took me, I don't know, 8 hours to replace the garage door opener in the past. And this is just a little device that you stick to the ceiling, mount on the ceiling next to your the garage door opener you already have. Didn't take me, but I don't know, 30 minutes to set up at the most.
I had no idea you were the garage door king. I am asking you from now on if I have any garage door questions.
You know, DIY stuff in general, I might be able to answer your questions.
I just push this button on my car and it opens. It's nice.
Well, that's nice. But if you want to make sure that you can get it while you're out of the home.
See, this is the difference between kind of like integration of everything and just everything has a button.
Right.
You know, and I still am at the stage of just, you know, everything has a button.
There's a button somewhere. You just got to get to
it. You just got to find it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Gary from Vegas. Hello, Gary from Vegas, who says, hey, I got a lot of free time.
Sleepy little town called Las Vegas. It's very quiet.
Yes. And with a lot of free time on your hands in Vegas, Gary is spending this time editing some old scanned photos on their iPad Pro.
Nice.
Now, I want to edit the EXIF data in the photos. How can I change the date and time, the title, the description, and the location? Can you recommend an app that will do that and not create a second copy of the photo? Boy, Gary, have I got the app for you. I've used it for years, and it has been my steadfast and true ally. I don't quite know how it's pronounced. It could be Metafo, which is what I think it is, because it's metadata and photo as a portmanteau, or it could be Metafo. But it's
I don't think it's Metafo.
M-E-T.
You got it right the first time.
M-E-T-A-P-H. I know, but doesn't Metafo sound like a cool X-Men character?
Yeah, yeah. What would Metafo's power be? The ability to edit arbitrary EXIF information anytime,
so
anytime, anywhere.
Oh, golly. So this app lets you do exactly what you're asking without creating a copy of the photo. And in fact, it has a setting so that you can do that. You can create a copy or you can choose not to. So I can take this wallpaper and here's the information, what date it was edited on, what day it was created, some information about, you know, the fact that it's a JPEG. I can remove all of the metadata if I want to. And see, here's the setting here. Save as new photo or don't save as new photo, essentially. And so I can edit the original and it just adjusts this photo itself, or I can create a new one without the metadata. And of course, if you want to make sure that you're not sharing a photo with your location information enabled on it, then you can also do that as well. Tapping on the bottom, a quick link here to change the date on which it was created, the time, and of course the time zone and location information as well. So I can change that if I want to adjust that however I needed. And of course you can delete it if you want to, but it also has the option to share, as is or with the information disabled. So the other good thing about this app is that it works from the share sheet. So you can go into photos and then hit the share sheet button and then say edit in Metafo, and then it will let you make adjustments to the date and all of that information. And again, it does that on the actual original photo without you having to, you know, create a brand new photo.
You know, I didn't, you know, I wonder, I mean, don't courts just figure that the EXIF data is, you know, probative of the day the thing was created and the GPS? I didn't realize it was so easy. Does it leave a little trace behind saying this has been edited by Metafo or?
That's a good question. From what I can tell.
So that's good to know. You cannot assume that the EXIF data is accurate. It could have been modified. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Without any apparent, you know, mark that it's been modified.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't seem to leave something behind. Yeah. So yeah, if you're submitting that as evidence, I think that you're not doing due diligence there.
I was clearly not there at the time. See this photo of me at the Grand Canyon?
I object. Let me show you this app. It's called Metafo. Metafo. Strike it from the record.
Wow.
So check Metafo, check and edit EXIF metadata. It is free with in-app purchases, so you can do a lot of the editing for free. But the date editing and safe share editing do have that in-app purchase. So essentially, it is a $3.99 app. They let you try it, and then you can buy it for $3.99.
That's a good price.
Yeah, $3.99 for something that, honestly, I had to go digging whenever I was looking a long time ago for a way. I kept having an issue where photos that I had uploaded to my Instagram ages ago, I had then downloaded to my phone because I wanted them in my photo library.
Right.
And they were showing up as new instead of when they were originally created.
Yeah, isn't that annoying? Yeah.
And so I was, you know, looking all over for an app that would actually do this. And I tried different ones. There's EXIF Viewer. There are some others. And this was the only one that I could find that did exactly what I was asking and exactly what Gary from Vegas is asking. And it's clear, with a 4.7 star rating and 1.5 thousand ratings. It's a good one.
Yeah.
That takes care of that. I believe it's time for our app caps.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike.
This hat is the coolest hat of all the hats.
Oh, did Leo give you that? Oh, isn't that
Leo
a great hat?
Did. This is a fantastic hat.
I'm lending that to you.
Oh, I yes, know. Of course.
That was expensive. That's got real buffalo nickels for the silver things and everything. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Got that in Sonoma at a little leather crafter. It's a leather top hat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it says Monterey Bay, California, head and home. Handmade hats. And then on the side, it says Voodoo El Dorado.
That's what it is. That's the Voodoo El Dorado.
Oh, wow.
He is.
California handmade.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It fits you perfectly, too,
which is nice.
I feel like Papa Legba.
Yeah. Yeah.
Papa Legba.
You look good in that. Does that fit?
It does. Oh. I feel, yeah.
Perfect. You must have the same head size as I do. All those hats
XL.
Will fit you. Yeah, big.
Big head, yes.
And I am the guy who says, I wonder what the wolf says.
Oh, is that not Captain Kangaroo?
No, it's a little wolf hat.
It's wolf? It looks like a kangaroo head.
Is it, you think? Maybe it is.
I would ask the chat, but I don't have the chat open after my internet went down.
Is this a kangaroo or a wolf? All I know is it's got pointy ears.
Maybe go like this, and then we'll see.
I feel like it's a fox.
Oh, okay. What does the fox say?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, fox. I feel fox.
Ding ding dong dong ding dong.
But now I want to see kangaroo ears. Maybe kangaroo ears are longer.
So why do we wear these silly caps, huh?
Because we wear these silly caps to honor our app picks of the week, the apps that we are.
What does the fox say?
I don't know what happened there.
Wow. dance break. So you see, the hat stayed on the whole time. This hat truly does
perfect fit. Mr. Legba.
So anyway, we're honoring our app. Yes, Papa Legba. He's scary, but cool. Anyway, honoring our app picks of the week. And that is why we wear these hats, I guess. It's sort of, it is what it is. I am super excited. It's just because we like to wear hats. They're fun.
We got them. We should wear them.
Yeah. Yep. So my app pick of the week, what's interesting is, so a developer reached out to me to share an app that they had been working on, and I found this app to be really interesting. Mm. And then I was looking at the other apps that this developer had created, and I ended up getting both of them. So I'm only going to talk about one today, but you should definitely check out all the apps made by this person. But this app is called Incognito Private Browser. Now, on its own, Incognito looks like a very, let me move over this way. Looks like a very boring app. It doesn't seem to have much to it. But that is because it is not meant to be an app that you use on within the app. Instead, it is essentially a share sheet extension that gives you the power to browse the web and search for things in a completely private browsing experience, no matter where you are. So normally you'd have to, you know, launch Safari or ask Siri or swipe down from the top and then do a search in order to find something. But this lets you, while you're having a conversation, so for example, or while you're, you know, on a web page, so maybe I wanted to look up the word robot, I tap the share button and then I choose search in incognito, and it pulls up a private browser with information about the word or the words that I was looking for. Now, within the app, you can choose which search engine you'd like to use. So there's Bing, Google, DuckDuckGo, and Yahoo. So you can use DuckDuckGo, the completely private browser, and then private browsing, which will discard cookies and other web data after every session. Of course, you can have the browser remember it if you want to for a period of time, and then you just turn that off. And then if you'd like as well, it can save your browsing history. So for example, here I can see the different searches that I did before. So it keeps it private in the sense that it's not adding to your Google, if you, you know, you choose to use the Google search engine, to your search history. But here you can go, oh, what was that thing I was looking up earlier? And it's right here within the app. Incognito has a very rigorous privacy policy that lets you know that this information is not something that they are keeping on their end. Instead, it is, you know, right here on the device, your history. And then if you choose, then it can be backed up to iCloud. I have that turned on so that I can have the sync across multiple devices. But essentially, it lets you both open links within documents and in other places using the private browser right there in the app without having to bounce out. So in apps that don't already have private or that don't already have built-in browsers, that it can be kind of annoying whenever you tap on it and it pops you over to Safari or Chrome or what have you. This lets you do that right from within the app. And then the whole time you got the Groucho Marx disguise on, it keeps everything private. So it's just a handy way, no matter where you are in iOS, to be able to launch a browser and do a quick search or check out a quick link without having to bounce around to different things. And like I said, maintain that privacy the whole time. So it's Incognito, available for $1.99. So I believe that it's one of the, again, free to download, and then you pay the in-app purchase to have all of the features available. But $1.99 for a browser that follows you wherever you need it to and respects your privacy the whole time.
The app I have, again, another one that Chris Marquardt suggested on Sunday on the Tech Guy show, and I thought it would be a perfect app for shelter in place, those of you staying at home, especially if you've got kids sheltering place with you, because you can do this together. It's kind of a scavenger hunt game that you can play with your iPhone. I should show it on my iPad, so that's kind of cool. But I think it really would be best on an iPhone. It's called Polarized, and it comes from Monkeybox. This is Monkeybox number one. It's a free app, and the idea is, let me turn up the sound here. It says, I'm ready. Do you have a minute to talk? Yeah. All right, then. Let me tell you a story. Yeah. About how I lost my finger. You'll need to help jog my memory. I can only remember bits and pieces. Let's take a few pictures. I think you'll have to set up your camera first. So I'm going to let it access the camera. And I could take photos. Now, notice, by the way, it's using the camera on the device. And they're kind of cool. They kind of look old and Polaroid-y. Old school. That's why it's called Polarized. They're kind of washed out.
It curses.
And it says, darn it. because that picture faded away. It didn't help at all. I'd hoped everything would click into place, but the images in my head are fading away. Did you remember the movie Memento, where he would write notes and take pictures to help him remember stuff because his memory reset every day? It won't be sufficient to take pictures of just anything. Just anything isn't very helpful. It needs to be more specific. I need a picture. Will trigger a memory, the right image. Now it becomes a scavenger hunt. where you're going to go out and be taking pictures. Actually, you don't have to go out, which is nice.
He lived in isolation.
The cold and stuff. It's a whole story. And something red. Think along the lines of your first photo. Can you find something red for me? So I need to take a picture of something red. How about that red hat right there? Let's take a picture of that.
Wow. So it's using machine learning.
Artificial intelligence. And then it helped because there you go. Wow. It's working.
Oh, this is neat.
So I remember standing in front of the signpost. So there are going to be assignments for me to take pictures that will help him recreate his memories. It's a mystery. And it's kind of fun. And I really love the polarized images. As you can see, it doesn't really take advantage of the iPad. This is an iPad version. But it really is better for, I would say, an iPhone. But the good news is you don't have to go outside. Look, it wants a hand. So let me take a picture of a hand and see if that satisfies it. Or a tree. Yeah, I glanced at my watch, so that was what it wanted. So you're going to progress the mystery by taking pictures to help his memory, jog his memory. You won't have to go far away or outside. It's not going to ask you for a picture of the Eiffel Tower, so don't worry about that. But it's mostly stuff you'll be able to find around the house. I stumbled over the boot.
Oh, what's a shoe?
Nowhere. I need a boot. Let's see. Can I take a picture of my shoe? Will that satisfy for a boot? Let's see. There's a picture of a shoe. I expected a lot, but not a shoe.
It knew it was a shoe. That's so cool.
Would you mind trying to photograph it from another angle? So I'm going to need to find something a little bit more boot-like.
What I love is that I was sort of skeptical, like, I wonder if I could just take a photo of anything and it's not really using
any. No, it knows.
But it really is.
It knows.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that fun?
I'm not going to solve
too much for you, but I think especially if you have kids right now around the house who are just going bonkers, it's a fun mystery. It's called Polarized. I'll show you it on the iPhone, which it really makes more sense size-wise on the iPhone. It's free, by the way, Monkey Box One. And you can see the text is a little bit bigger and so forth. So a lot of fun. And it's a little easier to take pictures of things with your iPhone.
By the way, so clever.
I can see the kids running around the house looking for boots or something red. It's like a little scavenger hunt mystery.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Polarized is the name of that.
Good work to the development team on, you see Apple create these different tools and we see them in very sort of technical ways of use.
Right.
But to take something
as
high tech as machine learning and AI and do that with it. Oh God, I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great app cap, Leo.
Well, thank you. And honestly, I got to give all the credit in the world to Mr. Chris Marquardt, who figured out and found it. He showed us three great photo apps. Let me see if that's red enough.
Oh, I do want to issue a correction. It is 99 cents.
For Incognito?
No, for Monkey Box.
Oh, it's 99 cents. That's right. Thank you. It's a buck. But a buck well spent.
Right. I agree. Yeah. That's so clever. Yeah. Wow. Love that.
That's our show for you, everybody.
We've done it again, folks. Another episode of iOS Today is in the cap.
We do iOS Today Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern Time, 1600 UTC. Tune in twit.tv/live. There's audio and video streams, and you can watch us flail around live before Kevin fixes it with his editing chops. You can also get on-demand versions of the website twit.tv/iOS for this show, but all our shows are there. Watch on YouTube. You can even ask your Amazon Echo or your Home Hub to play the iOS Today podcast, and in most cases, it'll actually do what you say. You can also subscribe, and really, that's the way we'd like you to consume it. That way, you've got a copy the minute it's available. Find a podcast program you like Overcast or Pocket Casts or Stitcher, Slacker, Google's or Amazon's or iOS's podcast apps and subscribe in those. And that way you'll get it every single Tuesday as soon as
Tuesday.
Kevin finishes working his magic. Thank you, Mr. Micah Sargent. How can people ask questions of the show?
Well, they would like to ask questions. All they have to do is send an email to iostoday@twit.tv. And listen, all you spammers out there who keep sending the me emails to iostoday@twit.tv. So many. So many. I don't want to know about your latest seminar. I want your questions. iostoday@twit.tv. Yeah. Thank you, folks. Yeah.
Thank you, Micah Sargent. Stay well. You look good in that hat. I think you should step out on the town. Do you have
you
a
know,
walking
with
cane?
With a mask. Yeah. And a walking cane, yeah. I may very well do that.
We'll it see does you next
it's
week.
Such a cool hat.
That's good, isn't it? On iOS today. Bye, Micah.
Goodbye, Leo.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, folks, it's Micah Sargent here, co-host of Smart Tech Today, right here on twit.tv. Every single week, Matthew Casanelli and I sit down to talk about smart tech for the week. That's right. It can get kind of complicated, but there's a lot of news out there. There's a lot of products to dig through. There are a lot of questions to answer, and we try to do that all every single week. From voice assistants to wearables to smart garage door openers and lights, there's so much to cover and, well, so little time. So be sure to check it out. It's twit.tv/STT. Oh, that rhymes.